T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Paul here with a true confession. I miss my work wife. I miss the laughter. I miss the insights, the occasional nagging. It's just occasional. But Jordina is back tomorrow. She took a few days off for Rosh Hashanah and for her son's bar mitzvah. Anxious to have her back. And tomorrow we are at Target Field Plaza. Get to hang out with the twins and talk twins and soak up another beautiful day. Man, this weather is unbelievable. I have something with John Schuster this evening. We have a home seller forum out at Braemar Golf Course, and I was there earlier today, and I've never seen so many golfers out on a course. I mean, they were lined up. A couple of guys came over.
Hey, Paul, it's a little too hot. It's a little too sticky out here, Paul.
Are you kidding me? Are you complaining about low 80s in mid-September? Really? They were. People just like to whine, right? It's your God-given right to whine. It's hard getting it just right, but I'm loving this, and I hope you're enjoying this weather as well. The very latest on Florence, of course. The European model has a new solution, which made me do a double take. We'll have more on that coming up in the show. At 3:20, we talked to Paul Thomas, who is on our staff here at CCO, and he's going to talk about the Livin' Foundation, something he started a few years ago. He lost his dad to suicide and wanted something good to come of this tragedy. And we talk about that. We talk about depression. We talk about removing stigma. We're also going to talk about ADHD. 1 in 10 kids diagnosed with attention deficit disorder. What is going on? Has it always been like this, or are we just doing a better job of diagnosing young people that have ADHD? And are there any alternatives to drugs? We talked to the director of NAMI, focusing on mental health. Of course, Frank Vassalero at 4:10. We're going to talk to Mike Vec from the Saints. Of course, the Saints in the playoffs. Mike Vec is in Charleston helping his daughter evacuate Charleston. So we talk about what he's going through. We talk a little bit about the St. Paul Saints. Well, we talk a lot about the playoffs. And we're also going to talk about violence in North Minneapolis and this brewery threatening to leave. Are other businesses considering this? We talked to a representative from the Minneapolis Chamber of Commerce. But, of course, today we lead off with 9/11, all of us remembering what we were doing on this date back in 2001 when so many people lost their lives. And President Trump paid somber tribute to the victims of Flight 93. That was the flight that went down in the fields of South Central Pennsylvania. Here's what the president had to say. It's a topic that's it's tough to bring up. You want to talk about the weather. You want to talk about anything but depression and suicide. And yet talk we must. And I know Entercom very serious about helping to raise awareness. One of the people that works here is Paul Thomas. He is an account executive involved with some of the events, some of the concerts, some of the special events that Buzzin', our sister station, and Jack FM also put on. Paul, it's good to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Paul. I appreciate it.
MinPost article came out today, described you as the blue-collar Ryan Seacrest. I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It works.
Yeah, I guess why not, right?
Hey, wear it proudly.
He seemed to do pretty well
for himself.
He's
doing okay. Yeah, it's worked for him.
Yeah, I think one of my friends had coined that recently, and it kind of came up in my interview with them. And yeah, I guess, you know, I do a lot of on-site stuff, and I kind of exist in a space more in the, you know, the country music realm, and certainly kind of the everyday Yeah, I'm just kind of the middle America. I'm just kind of a, I'm just a regular guy, you know. So I think that's where it came from. But with my, some of the events that I hosted, maybe my beard. I don't know.
it's that guy next door look, right?
Kind of, yeah.
Beard and down to earth. Hey, I know this is hard to talk about, but we want to talk about Livin Foundation, and it's spelled LIVIN foundation.org, and some of the things coming up. What got you off the dime? What got you focused on this, helping to raise awareness about depression and suicide?
Sure, yeah. So the 30-second version is I lost my father to suicide in 2013, okay?
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And, you know, I think obviously any loss is a tough loss when you have to go through that, but I think certainly with a suicide there's this sort of – what I refer to as this perceived choice and this fact that you've got a lot of questions and maybe not as many answers. So needless to say, myself and my family, I think we battled through a lot of stuff afterwards, and I was forced to reflect on a lot of things. But I had this this way about me that I had even prior to losing my father, which is just this idea of sort of being the best version of yourself every single day. And that I called it Livin. Like, that's what we referred to it. It was mm-hmm. a friend of mine. And all of a sudden, I started being open about my struggles and my loss and my personal battle with coming out of this. And people started resonating with it, right? So I specifically remember I was a country music DJ at a different festival, and someone came up to me and said, "Hey, are you the DJ that talks openly about, you know, the loss of your father and kind of your own battles?" And I said, "Yeah, that's me." And they said, "You know, I want to thank you. Because every time you talk about that, he had lost his niece to suicide. And every time that I opened up about it, it gave him some hope and some strength that he wasn't alone in his battles and the things like that." And it kind of clicked with me that here I'm sort of this public figure that maybe is willing to, you know, open up a vein here publicly and talk about my, you know, my battles and my family's situation. And all of a sudden, you know, here it's giving other people hope and strength, and really the Livin Foundation was born.
And I applaud you for your outreach, Paul. You're chipping away at that stigma. I think it gets a little bit better. I think the stigma shrinks every year. It's still there. I've lost two aunts. I've lost an uncle. I've lost friends. My youngest son lost his best friend. I defy you to find a family that has not been touched by either depression or suicide. And maybe, God, hopefully it hasn't happened in your family or extended family, but odds are our listeners know of people that have been impacted by this. Why are we still so reluctant to talk about this?
Yeah, it's a great question, Paul. And first of all, I feel for you and your family. And I think that's one of the things that's really interesting about this is you start talking about it and you're absolutely right. You don't have to go very far to find somebody that has been affected, whether it's immediate family or close friends or whatever. And I don't know exactly what it is that, you know, kind of restricts us from talking about this, whether it is, you know, this idea of weakness, right? Like a mental illness is more of a choice weakness, if that makes sense, rather than like something that affect, you know, again, you know, people will say how we don't say we, you know, you don't commit suicide, you know, you lose someone to suicide because you don't commit cancer and stuff like that. Right. So it's like, do we get upset with people or do we have a stigma if you get cancer or if you're born with diabetes or any of these other things, that isn't there. And so I feel like it's kind of that, for whatever reason, that perceived weakness, like, oh, you know, you weren't tough enough. Like you wouldn't. And I've been challenging a lot of people, at least in my conversations, to kind of utilize vulnerability less as a weakness and more as a strength, and being able to be open about your own vulnerability, if that makes sense, and to find strength through that. And, you know, I think it's been a positive reflection, or at least an eye opener for people to think of vulnerability in a way that to derive strength from it rather than weakness.
Well, here's a shock. All of us are fallen. All of us are flawed.
Yeah, right.
All of us go through dark phases. I defy you to find somebody who doesn't go through a dark patch. All of us need help. Bill Popp, a buddy of mine, the head of pop.com, he kind of changed my perspective on this. He said, look, we don't tell people with diabetes, you don't need your insulin.
Yeah.
Get over it. Even though it's a chemical imbalance, the body needs more insulin. And yet with depression, it's like, eh, just get over it. You know, this will pass.
So it's interesting when I speak to – I've spoken to probably over 2,500 high school students through some of our outreach with the foundation. And one of the things that I always talk about is when you break a bone in your body, right? Let's say, you know, you ask a group of high school students, you know, raise your hand if you've ever broken a bone in your body, right? And they all have, right? Or they've known someone has. And what happens when you break a bone in your body? You go to the doctor. You get a test that shows that, yep, your arm is broken or whatever it is. You put a cast on it. And get this, Paul, you literally show your cast to your friends,
right,
and family.
It's
and
a kind of a source of pride.
Yes. Yeah. You show them your cast, yeah, and they sign it.
Right.
In basically a, yeah, show of support, a literal and a visual show of support,
right,
for your weakness. That if it happens in your mind, none of that same stuff happens, right? We don't, you know, you don't really go to a doctor. You don't get yourself checked out. There maybe isn't, you know, we don't have as much of the advancements of the test to figure it out. You know, there's that again, that stigma associated with it. You certainly don't want to tell anybody, right? Because you don't feel, it's like people feel. And so it's so weird how when something is wrong in our brains, we don't have nearly the same understanding of what happens if you break a bone in your body.
It's that vulnerability, that fear of weakness that,
yeah.
No, I get that. Tell us, we have about a minute. What's going on September 22nd up in Elk River with livinfoundation.org?
Sure. So it's the first annual Get Busy Livin' Music Festival. And we kind of talk a lot about how, again, depression and suicide, these are negative topics, but livin' is really a positive topic, right? So this idea of get busy livin' and be a deliberate, active participant in your life. And so we're having a music festival and we're going to...
Nice.
Yeah, it's at ERX Motor Park in Elk River. They've got hundreds of acres up there that we can grow this thing into something pretty cool. We've got kids' activities during the day, a barbecue cook-off. It's actually free for families from noon to 5, and then it kind of turns into more of a concert with Craig Morgan as our headliner. He's a national country superstar.
Good get.
Yeah, thank you very much. I wish I knew Craig personally and was like, yeah, my buddy Craig's
coming.
Oh,
you will. By September 22nd, late in the day, you will know Craig very well.
I will be good friends with him. So it's kind of just a really, I think, a positive, uplifting event. You know, again, like, let's change the way that we look at mental illness.
Change the narrative.
Let's change the narrative. Like, let's be open. Let's start the conversation about it. Let's be okay having these conversations and doing it in a music festival, food, family, fun. And, yeah, it's all good. So September 22nd, ERX Motor Park.
Paul Thomas, thank you for sharing your story, for being brave, for being open, for pushing this. It's livinfoundation.org. More information on the concert, more information on how you can get involved. I wish you the best. Godspeed. And hopefully you have a great turnout September 22 up in Elk River.
Can you help us with the weather? Because I just want to make sure we have great weather. I was hearing it sounds like good things.
I'm going to light a candle and say a prayer, which is what I do every day.
That's all we can ask for, right? That's good enough for us.
All right, Ryan Seacrest. Paul Thomas,
yeah.
Thank you for joining us. Coming up, we talk about ADHD in young people. 1 in 10 impacted. But first, here is today's Prep Spotlight. Hey, thanks for tuning in. I take nothing for granted. The older I get, the less I take for granted. I probably have ADHD. It's hard for me to focus on one thing. I mean, all of us are multitasking. It's hard to focus on any one thing. Susan Blanche, our amazing producer here for the show. You suspect maybe you have a dash of this too.
Oh,
have you ever been diagnosed?
Not just a dash.
A generous serving?
I got a pickle bale full. Yeah. No, I've never been diagnosed officially, but when I first started reading about ADHD, just you'd hear about it in the news, I would go, oh my God, that's me. And then I would go, of course, and research it, and I'm like, oh, that is me. Because nobody knew when I was a grade school child or in school at all. Nobody knew what ADHD was. I was just the kid who couldn't stay in her seat, who was busy getting her work done and then going and chatting with everybody else and running around and being busy and asking the teacher, can I do this? Can I do that?
You were just exuberant.
Yeah, I had had a lot of energy.
Yeah. Well, the details have come out lately. 1 in 10 kids now diagnosed with ADHD. And that suggests that more young people who were undiagnosed are getting identified, and that the condition hopefully is becoming more accepted, less a target for shame and ridicule. We wanted to talk to an expert, so we turned to Sue Apterholden. She's director of NAMI. Sue, did I mangle your name?
No, actually, you did pretty good. It's Apterholden.
Apterholden. What is that? Is that German?
Swiss.
Swiss.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Well, welcome to the show, and we sure appreciate all the amazing things NAMI does in terms of helping people when it comes to mental health issues. Is this simply a function of better diagnosis? It isn't necessarily that ADHD is on the rise, but we're just identifying it and treating it younger?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. We do think the prevalence rate has gone up, you know, from, 6% to 10%. It's gone up in other countries, too, but not quite as much as ours. You know, we really did focus a couple of years ago on making sure that primary care physicians and pediatricians had better training on diagnosing ADHD, which I think has helped. But I think the other thing is that they focused, everyone knows when someone's hyperactive, they see boys who are hyperactive, right? But they kind of ignored ADD in girls, which is more kind of the inattention that can happen. And so girls were actually underdiagnosed. I do think, though, that perhaps there has been an increase, related to, there's all sorts of reasons for ADHD. It's very genetic component, 70 to 80%. But also, there's prenatal and perinatal risk factors like low birth weight, smoking, things like that. But also environmental contamination, lead, certain pesticides, certain nutritional deficiencies can also lead to ADHD.
Is it true that if you have some sort of a trauma, a medical trauma early, premature birth, specific kinds of cancers like leukemia, maybe a traumatic surgery, are those people more prone to developing ADHD?
Not necessarily ADHD, but it could be some other form of mental illness. We know trauma can play a huge impact on children and on those kind of young brains. But it could be a variety of different types of mental illnesses, not necessarily just ADHD.
Sue, when I was...
Certainly, yeah.
No, go ahead. Sorry. Please finish your thought.
Oh, well, I was just going to say again, we know that preterm birth and low birth weight can actually lead to ADHD. So those two things in particular.
Uh-huh. Now, this is just a theory. It's probably more of a wag on my part. When I was young, growing up, I'd go out back, play with a stick. I'd ride my bike, and then I'd play with the stick some more. I mean, there were just fewer options. There was less to do, fewer distractions. Now we're kind of drowning in screens, and, I just saw a two-year-old the other day with an iPad whipping through YouTube faster than I could. And I just wonder if kind of information overload and exposure to screens, could that be a factor, or am I just dreaming here?
Well, I think that can lead to kids not being able to focus very long, but that might not necessarily be ADHD. So we always have to kind of, separate those two things out, because you really look at when ADHD really interferes with a child's ability to do well, in school and with relationships and things like that, because they're, seeing a lot of different things on the screens and, multitasking all the time. It may be that they're, not paying attention very well, but that might not necessarily mean it's ADHD. But again, I think it is important that parents limit screen time, especially with young children. We're seeing lots of studies around that isn't really healthy for children.
Now, our youngest, and he would strangle me if you heard me say this, but he was diagnosed with ADHD, and we put him on Ritalin, and he hated it. I mean, I could see the reaction. He didn't like himself under the influence of Ritalin. We stopped, asking him to take it, and he grew out of that. Are there options to medication? Are there any options to chemicals? And there has to be something other than Ritalin. What other options are there for parents that are struggling with this?
Well, medication is unfortunately a big way to treat ADHD. And, I think, again, the thing to think about, you can certainly use teach time management skills and try to do those kinds of things, make sure exercise is a component. But when it really starts interfering again with that child's ability to do well in school is when you have to say, okay, do I have to take that step now? And it's something you definitely want to talk about, you know, with a physician to make sure. But, you know, the impulsivity that goes along with ADHD can be very dangerous in teenagers, right? So it's a balancing act, but something people should, they shouldn't just dismiss it out of hand, but they really should talk with their physician about it.
One of our listeners says, it's not better diagnosed, it's overdiagnosed. Kids will be kids, parents don't want to be parents. How do you respond to that?
Just, no, I'm sorry. That is just, you know, that's a generalization that simply isn't true. And I think anyone who has had a child with very serious ADHD would really be quite offended at that. There are many, many good parents who place limits on their children and all those kinds of things, A-plus parents, and their children still develop a mental illness, including things like ADHD.
Another listener says, Sue, that I'm 62. I just started taking Adderall. Do you have to tinker with the medications that ultimately work? There's not one size fits all, right, for ADHD, no matter what your age.
That's correct, because people react differently to different medications. And, you know, you want to take as low a dose as possible, you know, to address the symptoms. And so it sometimes can take a little while. And we have seen actually even a little bit more of diagnosis of ADHD in adults, you know, who are not doing well in terms of work and things like that, and they're finding that they actually have it. We do see some people grow out of it, absolutely. But, again, it can really interfere with a kid's ability to do well in school and in life.
So 30 seconds, if you suspect that maybe your child or maybe your parent or grandparent is suffering from ADHD. Obviously, you want to be methodical and thoughtful about next steps, but what is the next step and how can NAMI kind of assist in this?
So we would certainly recommend that you speak with your pediatrician or family practice physician. Some schools actually have what we call a school-linked mental health program where you can actually be diagnosed by a mental health professional, which is different than a lot of school social workers are actually not clinically licensed. So you want to see a clinical professional on that, you know, read up on it, you know, try some other things, making sure that, you know, you're limiting screen time and things like that. But don't let it go on. Talk to the teachers. What are they seeing in the school in terms of your child's behavior and any symptoms? And then you kind of have to put it all together and what you see at school and at home and make sure that the family physician or pediatrician has all of that information. We have fact sheets up on our website that people can go to and explore more. But I do think we're, especially with ADHD, way past shaming on this particular illness, for sure.
Well, I appreciate the update and your perspective on this, Sue. And thank you for all the good work you're doing with NAMI. Sue Apterholden, Director of NAMI here in Minnesota, thanks for joining us on CCO.
Oh, thanks so much for inviting me today.
You bet. Just like this show, poetry in motion. Bad poetry, but it's a start. Hey, do you have any friends in Charleston or Myrtle Beach? Hilton Head, not a bad place to hang out. Anywhere on the beach is a good place. If you're on the beach, hard to complain, but boy, paradise can lose its luster quickly, especially in September. This is peak season for hurricanes. They peak right around September 10th, 11th. That's when landfall is most likely because that's when water temperatures reach their peak. And of course, the warmer the water, the more fuel you have for these storms that spin up over the oceans. The latest Euro model suggests that Florence may actually track down the coast into South Carolina, threatening Charleston, Myrtle Beach, even Atlanta. We'll have the latest for you, the very latest coming up on Weather Therapy at 520. Stick around.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.